You're listening to Opulent Network Radio on WOPN 1011, Atlanta, Georgia. Each one, teach one, love one. Helping others help themselves.
Hey, everybody. It is Naomi Love. I'm so excited to be talking with you guys tonight because you know what we're having. Tonight we're having the conversation, hashtag Black Love. Today is February 12th, and we are in our Preservation of the Black Community, Black History Month segment, and it's me and Dr. Navigator. So when he comes on the line, we're going to introduce you guys to him as well, but of course we're doing love and motivation this month, so I'm so excited to have you all here. You guys are calling in, so make sure that you send the number to the number is 347-327-9515, and you make sure you send it to your people and you tell them, girl, call in, boy, call in, because we need all of the opinions, you know. We need all the opinions. We need every kind of side of the story tonight. And what I was going to say is, I think it's so funny because we love talking about love. We love talking about love and we love talking about relationships. So I think tonight is going to be great. What I'm going to do, if you do not want to speak tonight, please do not feel pressured to speak. But what I'm going to do just for simplicity is open everyone's line from the back. And this way, just keep your phone muted. So if you want to speak at any point in time, just unmute your own phone. Your line will already be open. And when you can say whatever you got to say, but the lines are open and just feel free to talk whenever. Feel free to answer some real questions or ask a question. And the floor will be yours. But I'm really excited to talk tonight, guys. So what is everyone doing for Valentine's Day? That's what I first want to know. I want to know what everyone's doing for Valentine's Day. I guess some guys have some really good plans. I was talking to a good friend earlier, and she was telling me that she's flying out of town. Her man are flying out of town for the whole week. So, you know, what are you guys doing for Valentine's Day? Somebody let me know so we can just go ahead and get this conversation popping. Somebody let me know, what are you doing for Valentine's Day? Or what would you like? If you don't have a date, or are you just having like a girl's night? Like, tell me, what are you doing to celebrate this day that is dedicated to love? Anybody, I'm leaving it open, guys. Don't be afraid to speak. Okay, guys, we're getting some really good questions. So I opened up the floor for you guys to tell me if anyone is here. I asked, for those of you who are just logging in, I asked, what are you doing for Valentine's Day? That's what I asked. Are you doing something with your girls? Are you doing something with your significant other? Are you doing something by yourself? Are you having some self-love time? All the lines are open, so if you want to speak, just unmute your own phone and you can speak freely. That was the question. What are you doing for Valentine's Day? Okay, so we're getting some good questions in. So like I said earlier, I opened up the floor for people to send in questions. What do you guys want to hear us talking about tonight? I probably should have extended it because I feel like we might get a little bit more traffic tonight. I feel like we might get a little bit more traffic tonight, but we're getting some good questions in the chat room. So we're going to have a really good conversation. I'm hearing that there are some people who do not celebrate Valentine's Day. Is there anyone else on the line who does not celebrate Valentine's Day? All the lines are open.
I don't celebrate Valentine's Day. Not as much as it. In a way I do, but not really.
Okay, why? Is it because, like, you guys have a super lovey relationship? Every day is Valentine's Day. Is that the kind of thing you guys have going on?
No, actually, I just feel as though why take one day out of the whole year to celebrate love when you can do that every day? Like, I don't feel like we buy each other, like, little, you know, favorite chocolates and a teddy bear. But as far as going all out, getting hotels and doing dinner, no, we're just not that big of a fan of Valentine's Day. We look at it as a regular day. Like, we forgot it was this week.
Right. Yeah, yeah. No, you know, it's funny because I said earlier that I have a friend who is flying out of town for Valentine's Day. They're taking the whole week to just go away. So are you, like, dating, or are you in a marriage? Or you said you guys, like, just do it every so often, right? You just buy, you know, you'll buy the cute little Valentine's Day gift, but, you know, as far as, like, going all out, go ahead.
Yeah, we don't go all out as far as, like, doing a dinner date or getting a hotel, going out of town or anything like that. Because we look at it as why just choose one day out the whole entire year to celebrate love with your significant other. I'm in a relationship, but, and it'll be 3 years this year, but it's just, I feel like I'm getting too old to, you know, do certain stuff. I think it's just like, okay, you get me a cute little bear, we spend time together for it, you know. But at the end of the day, why just one day? That's
right.
The way I look at it. I mean, it's a nice thing for other people. Maybe it's just us as a couple. I don't know.
You know, I think it's great that you guys are on the same page. That's all that I think. Whether you want to celebrate Valentine's Day or not, as long as you guys are on the same page, look, do what you do. And you guys seem like you're on the same page about it. So it is what it is. Me and my significant other, we are actually so lazy about this. But for a minute, we were doing really good. We actually would celebrate, every month. We would buy each other something every month to kind of, like, give us that, you know, like you said, not just take that one day out of the year, show each other that we love each other, you know, as often as we can. But we would do that every single month and, you know, start getting hard on my wallet, okay, because I have a bougie little man, not a little man, but I have a bougie guy, so, you know, start getting hard on my wallet. But yeah, that's something that we were doing. And I think for Valentine's Day, we're actually going to go see the Black Panther movie. So that's our gift to each other. Is there anyone on the line who's married or anyone who is, like, in a really long-term relationship? She said she's in a 3-year relationship. Anybody who does Valentine's Day differently? Let me hear it. All lines are open so you can speak freely. Okay, so, guys, I'm going to start asking some of these questions that we got in tonight so we can just go ahead and get the ball rolling. And if you want to speak, like I said, all the lines are open so you can speak freely. If you, if I cannot hear you, then just try to unmute your phone, and I'll just make sure that I keep all the lines open. Okay, so, here's one of the questions. Okay, so do you think there's such a thing as the right person for you? This is a deep one already. Do you think that there is such a thing as that person, as a certain person being a right person for you? I want to open the floor first before I give my opinion. Anybody, go ahead, take it. Is there such a thing as a person being right for you?
Good evening. How's everybody?
Hey.
Hey, so I would say that I think that when we always are looking for the right person, a lot of times I believe that a lot of relationships fail because people don't know what they want, and they're incomplete, so they're looking for someone else to complete them. And then it kind of falls apart. So I would say that if you have gotten to the stage of, do you know what you want? Because sometimes I think it's hard for people to please people because they don't really know what they're looking for or what is for them. And I think that no two people are the same. So, you know, I think how you said earlier, it was very important for the girl and her guy to be on the same page, no matter how they wanted to go about it. And so I think that when you are looking for people, I think you should look more so of an add-on, an addition, and have that stability of saying, okay, this is where I am, this is what I want, this is where I'm going. And then you see if that person, if y'all can kind of get on that same train together. And if y'all are, if they're in that place in their life where do they know what they want? Are they aware of the things that they don't like? And I think those are very important in a relationship, is knowing you first. Because sometimes we get in relationships and we want this person to know us and know what we like and know what ticks us, but we don't know that about ourselves. So it gets kind of rocky for them and you. And I think that just kind of being well-rounded of, literally, as I always say, kind of write the vision, make it plain, and be very clear about what you want and what you don't want. And then you'll sometimes, when you meet people, if they have those things, it's like, okay, well, are you willing? It's, then that's kind of where the compromise comes. It's like, there's going to be something about everybody, but is that something you're willing to take with you and work on? Because there's always going to be something with you as well. So I think it's just kind of knowing your own boundaries, knowing what you want, knowing what you don't want. And it's easier to try things out and say, okay, this isn't for me, because I know that that's not my goal. That's not where I'm going. And just as if we have a business, we don't give ourselves, like if we had a business and we owned a business and someone was working for us and they were not, you know, being projective, they weren't improving the business, then we would say, you know, hey, you're a great person, but I mean, this isn't working. You can't work for me. And so if we can do that for business, we should think about that with ourselves. It's like sometimes we meet great, amazing people, but how do you know if it's great for you? It's because you got to know you. So just because that person is amazing, it doesn't mean that, or they have anything about them. They could be the most amazing person, but are you at the level to accept their amazingness and you kind of exude that back? Or, you know, where are you, I think, is more important, because we can meet all kinds of people, and all kinds of people can be beneficial to us in different ways. It could be a horrible person and we can learn from them and we can gain things from them. It's just, we have to have that stability within ourselves and know the limits of everyone and know everyone's role that we encounter. So that's my view.
Right. I love everything that you said. The question was, how do you know that a person is right for you? Is there a such thing as there being a right person? You know, kind of like a soulmate. That's kind of like a soulmate question. Is there a such thing as a soulmate? Is there such thing as a right person? How do you know if that person's right for you? And basically what she just said is that you know if that person is right for you based off of how well you know yourself. How well do you know yourself? How well do you know the things that you want in your life? How well do you know the things that that person wants in their life? And that's where a lot of couples break down and they say communication is key. Communication is the most important thing, because you have to communicate those things. You have to let someone know, okay, this is who I am. This is how I see the world. This is how I like to operate. You know, or even be honest and say, look, I don't really know myself, you know. Maybe those are conversations that you need to be able to have with someone. And I think this actually kind of, wait, is anyone else who wants to speak before I move on to the next question? Okay, so the next question was about situationships, okay? And the next question was about situationships, and I think that what she said about just knowing yourself and being able to communicate those things, whether you're when you're upset, when you're happy, and everywhere in between, if you're not communicating those things, just say that you want to be in a relationship and you meet this guy and he's a great guy and he's making you laugh and he's taking you out places, you know, it's right around cuffing season. But then, you know what I'm saying, like a couple of months later, there's no title. You guys haven't really had that conversation. Where is this going? What do we want out of this? Are we on the same page? What do you guys think about that? Situationship. Y'all look quiet.
That's kind of tough there, Naomi. How's it going?
Hey. Hey, Lane. Thanks for calling in tonight.
I really try to stay away from those kind of. I have to scratch my head on that one. Relationships. This is about relationships, right?
Yes, but the question now. Okay, well, so we've asked two questions so far. The first question was, how do you know if a person is right for you, or is there a such thing as a person being right for you? And then the second question was, if you're not communicating those things, if you don't know yourself, if you are not able to communicate what's right within you or how well you know yourself, then sometimes you can end up in a situationship where, you know, ultimately people come out of situationships and say, bro, don't do that, you know? People say don't go into situationships. So what do you think about that?
Well, I'm going to tell you, you know, first, and I'm going to answer both questions together because they all are consistent with each other, whereas how do you know that's your soulmate, or how do you know that's your right person for you? You don't know until you investigate. You don't know until you communicate. You don't know these things until you really around a person. You can't know a person for a year. I don't care what nobody says. You got a 90-day period with me, first of all, and then you got a 5-year grace period after that because you still don't know a person. A person, people are people. People are like leaves on a tree. They fall off, they blow away. Okay, how strong you built that foundation. If that branch decides it wants to break off because it's tired and it's getting old or whatever and it's wibbly and when the wind blows it starts to shake, guess what? Them leaves are falling. So you can never just say if this person is right for me. You might love this person. This my person could just do anything in the world for you. It's so wonderful. Oh, my God, he is so great. He's so this. But then down the line, let's go 4 years down the line, he turns into a nightmare. When you look over him at nighttime, you're like, what did I do? We have to investigate our spouses, our mates, and we have to do that diligently because you have to think about the background when you start having children. Excuse me. Of what their background is, how does that entwine with each other? You have to investigate a person. You need to know their mama's mama's grandmama's sister, what they had, what they did. Are we blood compatible? It's just so much stuff that you have to research in a person. Before 2000, people were just people. Now people are different. Society is different. We change. We evolve.
Yeah.
So therefore, there's a lot of different things going on with us. We don't understand and we don't know, which we need to concentrate and research and recognize and realize when something is good or something's okay and something will be what it will be as long as we are communicating.
Mm-hmm.
Is that good enough? I don't know.
Yeah. No, that's good. I mean, look, you told it like it is. Like you said, you got to investigate these people. You're basically saying the same thing that Star said earlier. You got to investigate. You got to communicate. And, you know, and like you said, and like we've all said, you got to know yourself and you have to look, like you said, look down the line. And it's so funny that you said that about the blood, because when I was pregnant, getting ready to have my son, when they started doing the blood test, they were like, look, you have different blood than your husband. So, you know, if your baby doesn't have the same blood as you, then that could be so bad for you. You know what I'm saying? Like your body can reject the baby. Y'all, that was crazy. When I heard that, I was like, what? You know, that was really crazy for me to hear. But, you know, that's real what Miss Lane just said.
Yeah, because, you know, one can have the Rh factor, one can have an O positive, one can have an O negative, one can be an OB negative, AB negative. Sometimes they don't mix. You know how they say don't mix the blood? Don't mix the blood, because you mix the blood, you mess up the blood. You mess the blood up in a fetus. You mess it up. So that's why it's very important to make sure that your partner is compatible, no matter how fine he is, no matter what his hair is, curly or her hair is, light skin or whatever have you that turns you on. You must know the blood. It's in the Bible. Take it to the Bible. Don't mess with the blood. Don't mess with the blood.
Oh, God.
Mess with the blood. You're messing with life, because our life runs off the blood. Once our blood runs out of us, we're dead. So don't mess with the blood.
Don't mess with the blood, y'all.
I'm going to love you. Love you guys. Back to the line. Dr. Navigator, are you there?
I don't see Dr. Navigator. Oh, Dr. Navigator, hey.
Oh, yeah. He's in the house now.
Hey, Dr. Navigator, what's up?
I'm fine. How you doing? I've just been enjoying it.
Welcome to the show, Dr. Navigator. So Dr. Navigator is our co-host for the night. Tonight's topic is hashtag Black Love. And we've already begun to ask some of those really essential questions. We talked about how do you know if a person is right for you? Is there a such thing as someone being right for you? Is there such thing as a soulmate? We talked about how you need to investigate these people these days, because like Ms. Lane says, society is different. And you can't just be out here mixing the blood. You can't be mixing the blood. I love that. We have to communicate. We have to know ourselves. Don't, y'all, I love that. Don't mix the blood. Now I got to take it to the Bible. Don't mix the blood. Dr. Navigator, welcome to the show. Is there anything that you would like to say before we move on? We've talked about situationships, basically doing relationship things, or what our grandparents used to say, shacking up, you know, those kinds of things. What do you guys think about that? Give me some more. I love where this conversation is going already.
Oh, well, you know, I would like to, you know, say something, because I heard the young lady when she spoke about the first question about, you know, the right person for you.
Right.
And she gave some great insight. But, you know, and to me, there's three types of people in this world when you're talking about relationships. You got Mr. Right or Mrs. Right. Today, only a vivid picture of our imagination. You know, this is the person that everything that you look for. I'm talking about these, everything. You know, it's like, you know, he's tall, dark-skinned, and handsome. You know, however you feel like you want to see your woman, 36, 24, 36. They don't know vivid imagination. Okay, then you got Mr. All Right or Mrs. All Right. See, they're always the person that's close to Mr. Right, but they are dog, or they just mistreat you because they see that you're vulnerable, that you're so intrigued with trying to reach ultimate Mr. or Mrs. Right, which don't exist, that you'll go for anything. And then the one person that we always overlook, the Mr. Right or Mrs. Right for you, they may not be the most beautiful person or the most successful person or the most, you know, glamorous or, you know, gaudy person. But, man, they got the right intention. They got the right everything that's right for you. But you're just so busy looking at the exterior that you don't see the interior.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I had to say about that, because she was very much right when she said, the first thing you have to do is learn yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you can learn yourself, then you can recognize your characteristic or qualities in the person that can be your soulmate.
Yeah. You know, when you say that, it makes me think of how they say that you need to build yourself to reflect, be a reflection of the person that you want in your life. So you can't be a cheater and then you're saying, oh, I want someone who's faithful. Like, honey, you're a cheater. Like, what do you mean you want someone faithful and loyal? That doesn't make sense. I mean, it might make sense to some people. I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh at your life. But, you know, to me, that just does not make sense. So when I hear that, when I hear people say that, look, you know, that means a lot to me. That makes a lot of sense to me. You definitely have to build yourself up. You can't just be praying for God to bring you the best person on the planet for you and you're not ready for them. And sometimes I think that maybe we come into contact with people who hurt us because we need some kind of, you know, we need to start purging ourselves of those, you know, of those things. Like, okay, these are things that people can do. And, you know, maybe these are something, maybe I can learn. Like she said, you might get into a negative relationship in some kind of way. It hurts you in some kind of way, but it allows you to learn so that you don't make that mistake again, or you know how to pinpoint that kind of person, or you know not to be that kind of person. I've been in relationships for a while, and I've seen that within myself, like, and I would ask myself, like, is this karma? Because, you know, I would do something or someone would do something to me, and then I would go and I would be talking to someone else, and then I'd be doing the same thing that the person before them did to me. And it was just like, wow, like, oh, okay, you're doing the wrong thing. Maybe you don't actually need to talk to this person because now you're treating them poorly, you know, and just being able to be honest with yourself and, you know, see like, look, I'm playing this person, you know, I don't really want to talk to them. And it's funny because the guy that I was talking to before I met my husband, he was talking all kinds of goodness and love and all that kind of stuff. But I just was not having it. I was not feeling it. I don't know what it was, but I was just like, mm-mm, brother, I'm just not here with you. And then, like, literally maybe like a month or two later, probably not even that long, I met my husband and I was all for it. So I think that, and I don't think much changed. There was not much of a change with me in that month. But I definitely agree with the opinions that we've had so far that, yeah, you know, it's all about you and who is Mr. or Mrs. Right for you. And everybody is not that. And you might actually, and I think maybe you can have some different people, because, you know, like, people get married once, and then, like, if that their lover dies or something like that, and then they can get married again, you know? So maybe there are multiple people out there, you know, for you who you can meet. I wanted to share this quote thing that I saw earlier. And this question is actually about early marriage. What do you guys think about getting married young? Is there an age too young? What do you think about getting engaged? Is there a too long engagement? So that's the next question. But before you answer, I want to share this with you. Men are so worried that marriage will leave them with quote unquote only one woman for the rest of their life. That's simply not true. I fell in love with a 19-year-old rock climber, married a 20-year-old animal lover, started a family with a 24-year-old mother, then built a farm with a 25-year-old homemaker. And today I'm married to a 27-year-old woman of wisdom. If your mind is healthy, you'll never get tired of one woman. You'll actually become overwhelmed with how many beautiful versions of her you get to marry over the years. Don't say no to marriage. Say yes and keep saying yes until the day you die. So I saw that today and I said, oh, that's so sweet. So somebody let me know, what do you guys think about that? Marrying young. And kind of like Miss Lane said, she said, people are like, leave. She said, people are like, leave. You guys are brutal. She said, people are like leaves. People are like branches. If that branch decides it wants to die, baby, it's going to die this winter. It's not going to survive through the winter. So, but people do change. That's kind of what I'm taking out of what she said. People do change, and we do not stay the same. You cannot say that you were born, the person that you were born is the same person that you are dying, because you have lived a whole beautiful life full of different lessons and things that have shaped you. So, you know, I think personally about being married young. Let me see. Is that the correct? Am I asking the correct question? Yeah. Okay. So the correct question is early marriages, disparity of marriages with young couples and black couples. So this one is actually a little bit deeper than what we've been saying. Wow. Okay. But yeah, I think that goes with getting married young. I think that maybe getting married young is okay, especially if it's one of those things like Star said earlier, where you know you know yourself and you know how to communicate yourself. And I have friends who are like that. They know themselves. They know how to communicate who they are. They're not afraid to step out and be themselves. And you know, that's just what it is. You know, when we were young, you know, that's just what it was. But yeah, so, you know, to me that's a really good thing. I want to open the floor and hear what you guys have to say about being married young. What do you guys think about that?
Hello, good evening.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah. Hey, my name is Kimberly and I'm young. I'm 23, but I'm not married or engaged or anything like that. But I do have friends, and my nephew was actually married as soon as he went to the military. And the way I seen it unfold, they only was married for maybe 8 months or a year. And I think, like Ms. Lane said, it takes a while to know a person. Like, even though I'm in a relationship and it's 3 years, I feel like I know him, but I feel like I still need time, so I wouldn't rush or jump into a marriage. And I'm only planning on getting married once, so I don't want to continue to go through that again and learning, okay, what's your favorite color? What do you like to do? Because I feel like that's a long process. But yeah. Getting married young, I feel I'm for black love, and I feel like people should just take their time. And my friend just recently got engaged, and her boyfriend was only together for a year. And the way I looked at it, I was like, dang, why did she do that? But then again, if that's the person for you, go ahead and do it. That's
yeah.
the way I feel. It's like a two and two. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I'm kind of on both sides of the fence with it.
Yeah, because, I mean, look, when you're in a relationship for a very long time, if you're in a relationship for 5-10 years, you know, versus a person who got married, you know, the year after they met someone and they stayed together for 10 years, you know, you guys have spent the same amount of time together. It's just different. Like, one group of people, y'all are married, and the other people, y'all are just in a relationship. But within that 10 years, you know, who knows what people go through? People go through a lot of things in 5 years, in 10 years, you know, in 2 years, in 4 years, you know, you just never know. So I kind of see what you're saying. Like, you know, look, what is for you is for you. I appreciate that our generation is kind of, is less judgmental, these days, because every generation has definitely, you know, had their different say about how we go about relationships. And like I said, you know, at one point, you know, situationships and shacking up, like, that wasn't a thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, at some point, it was looked down upon. You know, if you were going to be having a baby and staying, having your boyfriend stay over or whatever, he was not your boyfriend. He was your husband, and he was providing the roof of your head, and you guys were a family. You know what I'm saying? So kind of the way that we take things these days is, like, you know, not the norm. It's not tradition, you know? And so the question that was just asked about the disparity among marriage in young black people, what do you guys think about that? I kind of feel like that has a lot to do with the situationships and the, you know, the lack of traditional routes and all of that. What do you guys think about that? Do you feel like there is a disparity? Because Kimberly just named three people who've gotten married. So in just that little instance of her speaking. So anybody else, go ahead. I hear the phone line. Go ahead.
Yes, my name is Laquita. And I think it's okay to get married young if that person is the one for you. Sometimes it's God sent. I got married mm-hmm. when I was 18, and we met when I was 15. And we were together until I turned 32, and he was killed in a car accident. So sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, if it's young, it's right. It's okay.
I'm sorry to be your lover. But I believe that was an amazing thing. You had him from the time that you guys were 15 until 30, 15 years. Married at 18. Oh, since you were 2, 32.
32.
Mm-hmm. 32. I was like, wow, you guys really grew up together. But but even when people say that they meet at the teenage years and they make it all the way into their adult years, that's a phase of growing up together as well. Would you say that you guys grew up together in that time?
Yes, we did a lot. We had to learn each other, learn ourselves, and then we had 2 kids. So, I mean, it was a journey.
Right. Now. Yeah. I think that's really lovely. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I said sometimes it's right, and it just depends on you and that person and what you focus on.
Mm-hmm.
And putting Jehovah first always.
Yes, that was actually one of the next questions that we had was, let me find it, I'm sorry. Let's see. Oh, okay, no, that was earlier. That was the question that we had earlier about knowing whether a person was right for you or not. Like you said, if you guys are focused on the same thing, if you guys are on the same page, and if you're willing to take that journey together, because like she said, guys, she got married when she was 18 years old. So raise your hand if you was going to get married when you were 18. Somebody on the line. I don't hear anybody. If you were ready to get married when you were 18, please speak up. I'm going to be quiet because it's not me. It was not me. Anybody?
Hey, Naomi, this is Stephanie.
Hey, Sister Stephanie.
How are you?
I'm so good. It's great to hear your voice. Are you speaking up because you were ready to get married at 18?
I got married at 18.
Woo-hoo!
I literally graduated from high school June the 5th and married June the 26th.
Wow.
And I don't know that I would have been any more ready at another age than I was then.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a mother and a father that I had a perfect example of, you know, true love.
Mm-hmm.
My mother loved my father till the day he died, and she never loved another man again. So
mm-hmm.
I was taught very early what it meant to give yourself to your spouse. So at 18, I believe I was ready, and we were married 24 years. Things didn't go the way necessarily would have planned them from the time we got married. You know, you think it's going to be forever. But we did grow together, and we did learn that my world and his world were 2 different worlds, but we were brought what's good from one to the other one. You learn to even each other out. You learn how to, you know, see things from another perspective. You know, we always joked about it. I was from the Waltons, and he was from the Bundys, because his family was so way different than mine. But we brought what we could to a family. And when you get married, you go from being in love with the idea of being married and being in love with someone to next thing we know, we're going to have a child. And that love changed. I no longer loved my spouse as just a partner, but he also is now, we're parents together. So our love changed. And as you grow through a relationship, like your thing you said earlier, every year you became a different person because you matured, because you learned something new about your spouse. You learned something new about yourself. So every year was something new. Every year was something better. Now, we grew apart versus growing together the way I had hoped it would have been at the time. Now I look at it and I take the greatness of what we had together and try to forgive and move on from the other parts, because we still have a family that we love. So, no, I don't think there is a such thing as an age. It's a maturity. It's, you know, how you view the person you are and the person you want to spend the rest of your life with.
Right. You guys, we've been saying that all night. We've been saying that. It's all about knowing yourself, loving yourself. And sometimes when people talk about that, you think of things very selfishly. Or like, what does that mean, like, to love yourself? But I believe that everyone on the line tonight has had some great input, because everyone has said it's all about being able to investigate, turn your lookers inside of you and investigate yourself, and then be able to put those things into words and communicate those things outward, and then on top of that, be able to say, okay, now this is who I am and this is what I'm doing, and you know, I'm on the same page as you, or I'm willing to stay in this relationship, and you know, and like Miss Laquita said, be on a journey with you. I think that's exactly what Miss Laquita and Miss Stephanie have just said about being on a journey. It's a journey and you have to grow. So a lot of the questions that we got tonight about, you know, is there an age limit on getting married? Can you get married too young, or can you be engaged for too long? Or how do you know that a person is right for you or wrong for you? Who is Mr. and Mrs. Right? You know, all those things. You, everything that everyone said has answered those questions. You have to know yourself. You have to be able to communicate those things, and you have to be able to be willing to go on that journey. And like I told you guys, you know, like I said earlier, a month before I met my husband, I was talking to a guy, and he was saying some things, and I was looking at him cross-eyed like, no, brother, I'm sorry, just cannot hear it. And then a month later, I meet my husband, and he's talking some things, and I'm like, I'm all for it, you know? And who knows, you know, if there was really a big difference in what they were saying, but there was a big difference in how I was receiving, you know, and how I was open to it. So, you know, I actually think I told that guy that I wasn't ready for a relationship. And then a month later, I was like in one. So that's really funny to me. Anybody else have a question that they want to pose to the floor? We have, what makes a relationship exciting? I asked everybody, what are you guys doing for Valentine's Day? So anybody else want to speak? Tell us what you're doing for Valentine's Day, or what makes a relationship exciting for you?
I got something to say.
Okay, I'm listening.
Okay. Hey, y'all. How y'all doing, first of all? Glad to be on the show tonight. I think being able to learn about somebody and grow with them makes their relationship exciting. It's like forming a new covenant and seeing how that covenant works out in your life. I think that's pretty exciting.
Learning, so being able to learn from someone and grow with them. Yeah, I like that too. And being able to, let's say, and being able to, I think something that's exciting for me, let me think, is being able to have a best friend, being able to, like, form that bond with someone, and just have those things that only the two of you share. I think that's what makes it exciting for me. Anybody else? Miss Lane, Dr. Navigator, let us know. What do you guys think is exciting? What makes a relationship exciting?
I want to say something.
Oh, go ahead. I'm listening.
Okay, yeah. I just want to say hey to everybody. My name is Rob.
Hey.
And I really think that what makes a relationship exciting is the relationship. Just knowing that you can have a relationship with a person. Because a lot of people you may come across. Because a lot of people you may come across, you don't necessarily have to build a relationship with them, or you may have a certain kind of relationship with them. But either way, the relationship makes it exciting, I think. Just knowing that you can have something with that person and just keeping it exciting, knowing the type of person that you're dealing with and knowing yourself, as you said, as you all have said. And I really just think that the relationship in itself, just knowing that you can have it with them, and it's just knowing that person and just knowing what you can bring and knowing what you can offer, and also, you know, getting that out of them. So that's what I really think, what makes it exciting. And I really don't think that it's about what makes it exciting. I think it's about what keeps it exciting.
Mm.
That's what I think, because going back to marriage, it ain't about getting married. I think it's about staying married.
Mm-hmm.
And you can put that in any sense of anything, like as far as like a person getting rich. It's not about getting rich. It's about staying rich. So it's mm-hmm. not about just having a relationship. It's about keeping it. So that's how I feel about that.
Yeah. Kind of like what the meme said earlier that, and I actually saw this on a movie as well, that you say I do on that day. You say yes to your engagement. But like you said, you have to keep saying yes every day. You say yes throughout the months and the times of being upset and, you know, not in a happy place. Because like they said, it's a journey. It's a moment where, you know, there are ups and downs, and you have to be able to navigate those things together. In a movie I saw that she was saying something like, I think they were like getting into an argument about like having to always like just forgive each other or something. It was something crazy like that. But she basically told him, she said, you know what, I would rather forgive you every single day than try to find someone else to forgive. You know, so basically saying like, you know, I'm not going to come down on you for being imperfect. I love you for who you are, and if that means that I have to forgive you every single time you do something that does not meet my expectations. You know, now this is a movie, so I don't know exactly everything that he was doing, but, you know, every mm-hmm. time that if you don't do something that meets my expectations, I'm going to forgive you and I'm going to love you anyway. So I thought that was a great tidbit that they threw in that movie. I was like, okay, I get it. I see what you're saying. So, yes, that was amazing. Thank you. And excuse me, Black Love, guys. And I keep getting this question as well. Before we close, tonight was a great show. I appreciate everyone for calling in and for sharing your tidbit. It's so funny because when people have these conversations about love and, like, what it means to be in relationships, we all have the best answers. But let me tell you, relationships are... Ooh, honey, relationships are messy. I can tell you that just from the things that we see on television and the things that your girlfriend call you and she be telling you and the things that you experience with your wife and all those kinds of things. Because people kind of, it's look, Ms. Lane is always saying, look, people are crazy, okay? People can be
crazy.
People are crazy, and we always can have, you always can have somebody, you can just always count on some kind of person to come over to you and just be like, look, make you just rethink, like, what, where did I even find this person at? So guys, we've been talking about a lot of great things tonight. We talked about what it means to know if a person is right for you and investigating yourself and investigating that person and don't mix the blood and all of those great things. And you guys, we've had some great answers. We've learned that love is a journey, that love, I don't think we said that. Love is a journey, like loving yourself and learning yourself. That is a journey. And having a relationship, the ability and the power and being able to have a relationship, all of those things are a journey within themselves. But then there's also being able to love and share love with another person. And I want to share this Bible quote. It's my favorite, of course. It's 1 Corinthians 13. Let's see, is this the whole one? I think it's 13:4-8. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be sealed. Where there are knowledge, it will pass away. That's the whole thing. usually people just stop it at love never fails. But that is 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. I love that Bible verse. And that's a great love quote to share with someone today, just to let them know that you love them, whether it's a friend, whether it is a coworker, whether it is a relative, or whether it's your spouse or someone that you're dating. Always just be able, you can share love without like the Valentine's Day kind of love where it's like hearts and candies and kisses and sexy time. Like, you know, you can just be a loving person, give hugs and, you know, compliment people and let them know that they have meaning in this world. I think we need more of that. And I think everyone on the line is that kind of person, to share that love in that way. Let's see. I'm trying to go through the list of questions to make sure. Oops, sorry. I'm trying to go through the questions to make sure that we covered everything, because we got a lot of good questions tonight. Did we talk about the disparity of marriage with young couples and black couples? I think I wanted to say one thing about that. And we're going to close at 10 o'clock tonight, so we have 8 more minutes left. But last week we talked about, of course, well, this segment is called Preservation of the Black Community. And so every week we have been talking about some, well, it's only been 2 weeks so far, but every week in February on Monday at 9 o'clock, 347-327-9515, Naomi Love and Dr. Navigator, we are talking about things that we need to do more in the Black community to preserve our community, to build up our community. So last week we talked about education. It was titled Educate Us. And after the show, I had some people who didn't be able, who were not able to call into the show, but they shared with me some interesting things that, you know, education is not free. And in order for our students to get a better education, we need to put more money into their education. We cannot continue to throw money at tokens, at symbols of affluence, like clothing and hair and all that, those extra things, those luxuries. We need to be putting our money towards our children's education and towards our community, paying our property taxes and, you know, all those things. And all lines are open, guys, so if you feel like you want to speak at any time, please speak. So that's what we talked about last week, about education and the importance of educating our children and educating our community. Because there are still disparities that our community faces with college applications and or college entrance and high school dropouts and, you know, those kinds of things. So that was a really great conversation that we had, and we always like to talk about those kinds of things here on Motivational Monday. And so, of course, tonight, February 12th, we're talking about hashtag Black Love, since Valentine's Day is Wednesday. So I hope that you all have a good Valentine's Day, regardless of whether you spend it with yourself, you have a self-love day, a girl's day, a guy's day, a spouse's day, a family day. Whatever you do, I just hope that you do it with love in your heart. And so next week, we're going to be talking about the Black Dollar. We have a segment here on Motivational Monday called Get Your Money Monday. So we're trying to put some money back in our pockets. So next week, that's what we're going to be talking about, the Black Dollar. I've heard some amazing things about how the Black Dollar does not circulate within the Black community for very long. So that's a real thing. So we're going to be talking about that. And then the last Monday in February, we're going to be talking about media madness. And media madness is all about how is the media, how is the media that portrays Black people, right? And the media that we are feeding ourselves on a daily basis and the media that we're feeding our children, how is it impacting our community and what are we going to do about it? Okay, I've heard some very strong opinions on both of those topics. So I hope you guys come back next week, Monday, 347-327-9515, 9 p.m. And I hope you guys come back next week so we can continue to have these conversations and share it with someone so we can all talk about these things. And hopefully we can start putting some action behind these words. And, so, guys, I'm going to stop talking at this point. And I just want to open the floor for anyone who wants to say anything about Black love.
Love to the lion.
Hey.
Hey. Well, you know, as you were saying, and, you know, I was just really just sitting back waiting for you to give him my cue. You know, the like you said, the segment for this month is preserving the Black community. And the nice topic, Black love, you know, it made me think about something that, you know, when we go talking about relationship love, okay, that's one thing. But when you coincide with what the topic is about preserving the Black community and you put the word love in the mix of it, you'll find that in the Black community, that's not as much love as we think it is. There's not much, you know, connection, as much unity. And I'm going to show you, I'm going to give you a little example. You know, they got this saying, and I read about this in the Disputed Truth blog. It says, various sayings in the Black community that Black cannot improve as a people because, like crabs in a barrel, whenever one tried to climb out the barrel, the other one would pull them back down. And it made me think about in 2007-2008 when, you know, Barack actually became a candidate, well, he had a person that was running against him by the name of Hillary. And when you had, you know, dominant, primary Black, you know, people that you would think that, hey, they were going to support this guy. Well, guess what? Some of the people that, you know, that I'm talking about some influential people, such as Andrew Young. Now, this man was a former United Nations ambassador and a civil rights icon. Yet, still, you know, he made a quote that's something like, you know, well, Bill is every bit as Black as Barack. He's probably gone with more Black women than Barack has. Then he come back and say, I'm just clowning. Okay, then you got a guy such as Bob Johnson, who became a billionaire on BET. Yet still, you know, he said something like, I am frankly insulted that Barack campaign would imply that we are so stupid that we would think Hillary and Bill, who have been deeply and emotionally involved in Black issues since Barack Obama was born, something in the neighborhood. He went back, he said something in the neighborhood he was talking about when Barack wrote his book. And he spoke about, you know, his drug problem, his drinking or whatever. But why get up here and take these type of shots at a person? Not because you were, you know, you just didn't agree with his view. It was all because he was Black. So when you talk about love in the Black community, you know, if we don't have unity, what good is going to be the love, if there's any love? So, you know, I was just thinking about that as we were going, you know, tonight, and, you know, the Black community and the word love, is it really any love in the Black community? And that's love to the lion.
Anybody want to respond? No, I'm glad that you brought this point up. We kind of got carried away with all the different questions that we got asked for tonight. But about Black love and the Black community, just from my personal perspective, I think that we need more of that. We need more positive and better representation of that, because we don't see that. We see a lot of single mother homes, and of course those mothers have the support of their families or whatever, but we don't really see that unity between a strong Black man and a strong Black woman or whatever. We just don't see that unity within that family, because I was reading something and I saw that the family is the foundation. The family is the foundation of the community. Everything that starts, everything that happens in the school is what happens you know, is happening as an effect of what's happening in the home. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, the family, your family unit is what's teaching you how to act outside. You know, when you go to school, when you go and you see, you know, when you're talking to your, when you're going to the church, when you're conducting business, when you are, you know, whatever you do, when you go outside of your state, when you're leaving for college. And we talked about this last week with the education, about how the community is supposed to be able to support and show the children what to do, how we used to be able to say, yes, I know my neighbor. I can take my child and I can allow my child to go to my neighbor's house and ask for a cup of sugar or whatever because I know my neighbor. Whereas now, these days, a lot of us don't know our neighbors. A lot of us don't have those strong relationships within our community. It's not a village kind of thing anymore. And like you said, Dr. Navigator, it starts within that unit in the home. You know, two parents, like Sister Stephanie said, she had a great example of her, from her parents showing them what it meant to be true lovers and what it meant to raise a family and, you know, do those things. So because she had that example, she was able to go out into the world and say, you know, I have an idea of what this is supposed to be. And so if we have more of that, then we have more people who are having that mentality who say, I've seen two parents, I've seen a woman and a man work together, not a woman work by herself, not a man work by himself, but I've seen a woman and a man, I've seen the yin and the yang work together. I see what balance, I see what harmony is. You know what I'm saying? Even though it might not be perfect, perfect is an illusion to me. Perfection is an illusion. But it's harmony. I've seen balance. I've seen balance within the home. You know? I think that's what a lot of us want when we're talking about black love, when we're talking about love in general, we want a marriage. You know, we're talking about balance. We're talking about harmony. We're talking about building a community from this single family unit. A strong community is built from your unit, his unit, her unit, my unit, and then we're all coming together, and now we have a community. Anybody else want to speak?
Yeah, I would like to say something again. I just want to say that if we negate the fact of what goes on in the black community with black people, we all pretty much know what it's like, or we all pretty much hear what it's like. I don't feel like that take away. I don't feel like that completely take away from the love, because I feel like no matter how bad it gets, I think that the love can still be there. Just saying, if you're using an example, like you got a friend that you don't even talk to often. Maybe you talk to him once a month and you never really even get to see him much. And because y'all don't interact like that on a daily, that don't necessarily mean that there's not no love there.
Right.
That's how I feel. I still feel like the black love is there, even though we are, you know, we may be in poverty, or we may be fighting, or whatever it is we do, you know, that's negative. I don't feel like negativity take away from that love that's there, if that love is a foundation and a structure and it's been there. I don't necessarily feel like it take away from that. I feel like the love can still exist because love conquers all. So I feel like the love can still. I feel like the love can still exist even if we got crabs in a bucket. I feel like the love can still exist even if we got people who don't want to see us prosper, or even if we got people that just don't like us. I still feel like it can still be there, because if it's in you and you're putting it out there, I still feel like it can exist also. I just really, that's how I feel about it. I don't feel like it take away from it because of the things that may be bad, or because of the things that we may be surrounded by is not looking on the up and up all the time. I still feel like it can exist. I do.
Yes. I don't think that it takes away, like you said, I don't think it takes away from, I don't think the love, or you're, like you're saying, like it takes away from the love that we have for each other. But just for me, or not even but negates what I just said. I'm not negating what I just said. I agree with you. I don't think that it takes away from the love that's within the community or how we feel about each other. You know, And on top of that, I think we just need to do better, you know, just for our community, just for ourselves, because a lot of people have been speaking about, you know, how we had, you know, our own communities and how this, like, this big fight for inclusion, and this kind of goes into our topic for next week, but, you know, inclusion, and we want to be with everyone and all this. And, you know, there are people who really believe in integration. There are people who really believe in segregation. And those are two separate, that's a different story for another time. But, you know, there are people who believe, like, if we weren't so, you know, caught up on being included in everything, and this is just an example, if we weren't so caught up on being included in everything, then we would be able to, you know, be more independent. We would be able to carry on the legacies that were passed down to us. You know, we wouldn't just have to be reading about our ancestors and, you know, our forefathers in textbooks and reading about how we had Black Wall Street and all of this. And, you know what I'm saying? Those things, how we had a village and, you know, how we were the first people to do this and that, you know, start these things for the world. But now we, you know, sit at the bottom of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, those kinds of things just, it leaves me with a lot of questions. You know what I'm saying? It makes me feel like I can't really speak on it, because it's like, well, what, you know, what is it that we can do? What can we do? If we can't, you know, if we can't strengthen ourselves within, if we can't have the, you know, the unity or whatever, if even though the love exists between us, if we still have all that, you know, what is it? What's wrong? What are we doing wrong? Like, what's happening? You know, and that's really what I just want to get to the bottom of. Is there anyone who else wants to speak before we close out for the night? And brother, I did not get your name. I'd really appreciate it if I knew who I was speaking to.
Oh, my name is Robert.
Hey, Robert. Thanks for calling.
Hey. All right.
Guys, is that it? Well, you guys have been great listeners, and I appreciate everyone who has spoken tonight. And this conversation, like Dr. Navigator came in and said, look, we need to get on the real topic. I hope that you guys can come back so we can finish this conversation. I want to hear more from what you think. Next week, we're talking about the Black Dollar, and then the week after that, we're talking about Media Madness. So I really want to hear more of what you have to say, what you are thinking these days. And, yeah, so if no one else has anything to say, Dr. Navigator, if you're still here, can you pray us out? And with that being said, I'll just see you guys next week. Or not see you. I always say that. I'll talk to you guys next week. All right. So with that being said, Father God, thank you so much for bringing us together. Thank you so much for enabling us to speak what's on our minds and speak what's on our hearts and have a platform for us to share and commune with one another. Father God, I pray that everyone has a blessed week and they know that love is found in you, love is found in their hearts, and they can always share love even outside of Valentine's Day. They can always find love with you. So with that being said, Father God, just thank you for everything that you've done and everything that you will do. I pray everyone has an amazing week. And that is our show. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So guys, that's our show. And, you know, we went a little over tonight, 10:09. So we're gonna stay on task. We are going to stay on task. So 10 o'clock. But thank you, Dr. Navigator, for coming on and putting us on the right path with this hashtag Black Love and talking about Black love in the community and how it impacts our community. And guys, I'll talk to you next week. Thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart.
All right. Good night. Have a great one. Love you all. Where did all the blue